You're listening to Go Fish with Mike Buck on AM 690, The Fishing Answer. This segment is being brought to you by the Western Pacific Regional Fishery Management Council at wpcouncil.org. Now, troll on in.
Well, okay. You know, it's like I told you a few minutes ago. You're not going to be trolling on in as we usually do, unless you have a boat that's going to fit in the Ala Moana Hotel. The Ala Moana Hotel is going to be a pretty busy place. And we thought we'd get you back up to speed. You've heard a little bit about it. We're talking, of course, about the Western Pacific Regional Fishery Management Council 176th meeting. It doesn't mean that they're 176 years old, because there's like three from a year. With the council, of course, fishery analyst Josh DeMello, we've done a lot of stuff together. And I asked Josh if he could come in today so we could record something to play this weekend that would let you folks know, some of you know, how you can find out what are these meetings you might want to attend. And more importantly, for me anyway, on the 19th of March, there's the Big Fishers Forum, which I'll tell you about. So that's a pretty tall order. And first of all, Josh, we talked last time. I don't know if it's a set amount of meetings, but it's usually like, it's for sure two, but maybe three and maybe more a year.
Right. And the council meets three times a year. We might be moving to four. Sometimes there's four with teleconference meetings, but really, there's three main meetings a year.
Okay, so this is number 176. That means we're like, it's into the 40th year.
Right, yeah, right. So and this is the first meeting of this year's cycle.
Okay, so that being said, a lot of ground's going to be covered. A lot of ocean's going to be covered. And for those that don't know, first of all, we're going to review some of the actual meetings and some of the days. And from what I understand, a lot of these meetings are open. If the public wants to come and check, they are. Some are not, but I mean, aren't most of them, in fact, you can see them if you want to?
Oh, yeah. So all our meetings are open. Mm-hmm. Our agendas are on the website, our website, wpcouncil.org. And so if you want to check out what's going on when, you can just check it out there. Then there's our council meetings actually stream live on the web. So if you can't make it down to the YWCA, you can watch it online.
That's really cool. I watched that. Yeah, I watched that one time before. It's amazing. But from those that don't know, the council is of all of the councils in the country, the biggest geographically. And we got a couple people coming from literally thousands of miles away. You know, like some of the guys that we're going to get some of them in. We've had guys from CNMI, from Samoa, from all over the place.
Right.
And so they're all, and I also know that a lot of times they lean on you and say, Josh, I got to go shopping. These guys, every one of them, they love to go shopping out when they're here.
But you come from an island where you don't have a Walmart or even a Foodland, you know, you don't have those kind of amenities. And you come here, it's like, wow.
I know. And I talk to a lot of them. They do nothing, but not nowadays because of phones and everything. They take pictures. They can document everything to show people what they're missing.
That and eating, you know, getting food that you can't get at home.
Okay. So, but hopefully, and by the way, these meetings are jam packed. Yeah, I mean, it really is packed. So the intent of them, and I will get to the Fishers, my favorite thing, the Fishers Forum. How is it organized this year? In which order are some of these things happening?
Okay, so first we're going to start out Monday with our standing committee meetings. That's part of the 176th council meeting, and that will be held at the council office in downtown Honolulu. And really, we're going to talk about executive and budget kind of stuff in the morning. And then in the afternoon, we're going to talk about pelagics and international fishery.
Which is where you get my attention when we start talking about the... And you, of course, love it, being that the international fishery. Okay, so... And there are things every day and every night. That's the first thing. Doesn't that set the sort of the pace or the momentum for what's going to happen the next couple of days?
It does, and it helps the council members digest some of that information because it is very... thorough and really big concepts that if you're not paying attention to it, you got to kind of allow it to ferment inside of you for a little while.
But you know what I think is sort of neat as we cover this is it's not that it was ever standoffish, but I think there's been more participation lately only because some of the things that I see are people that want to come in, and I know you've seen this way more than me. They want to come in because they got a chip on their shoulder about something. There's something they don't like. And sometimes it takes a long time to sort of lull them into being open-minded to look at the other side and maybe even, who knows, change their mind on some stuff.
Definitely. And one of the things is that fishermen are starting to realize that they're getting affected more and more and more. And all of these cumulative impacts of people not being able to fish in certain places or getting their gears confiscated. Yeah. And they're really looking for help. And they they've been coming to the council trying to see if they can get help. Because even if it's a state issue, the state of Hawaii sits on the council. So they
want and that's, by the way, gang, that's really important that Josh repeats that because, you know, we often sort of kid each other when we're talking about fish assessments and stock assessments and quantity. And we talk about the fish doesn't know what grid it's in. So there's this passing of the baton between so many miles here and so many miles there. But yet the fishermen don't know that. So that's why it's really good that they can come and see that it's not, there's no wall. You know, there's no Trump wall separating the ocean. In other words, it's pretty, it flows back and forth. In other words, what you're saying is because of your relationship with state, Docare, Dobar, everybody's going
to
be there.
Sure. Yeah. And what the council is really trying to get into is that ecosystem-based fishery management. Mm-hmm. And so whatever's happening on land that's going out into the ocean, on the reefs, and those fish are being eaten by bigger fish, and even the tunas and the billfish, it's all interconnected. So we want to be able to manage one thing while knowing what's happening on the other side.
Okay, now there's another thing too, and one of the reasons why we do this every time there is a meeting, to just sort of bring you up to speed on stuff, is that when you go there and you digest this stuff, the more you walk away with, the more they know that you've done the right thing. For instance, Uncle Roy was here the last couple of weeks, and we talked about a lot of the things that he's involved with the ledge this year, and they're like really busy. You just type fishing and poof, there's a million things come up. But he was talking about the berfers. He's talking about, you know, how some of them, three or four have been open, and now they're trying to petition to get the rest open. So coming to these meetings and saying your piece sometimes helps.
It does. And and it actually, it's trying to figure out where to stick in your opinion, because you have to know how things work and what people might key in on. Like the berfers.
Yeah. And by the way, I said we're all happy. He said, no, we're not. We still have more. But they're getting a little happier as the time goes by. Okay, so I still want people to understand, because this is this meeting is a big get together. Most of it's during the daytime. So if somebody wants to come, they got to go to wpcouncil.org or save the date on some of the stuff that we're talking about, because it will be for them. A long lunch, or they could, you know, you guys, I don't know, it starts, you go from eight in the morning to all day, right?
Right, yeah. We do, and it's being held March 18th to 21st, so Monday through Thursday. Yeah. On the 19th, 20th, and 21st, it's down at the Laniakea YWCA, which is in downtown Honolulu on Richard Street, and in the Fuller Hall over there.
That's kind of neat. Is that because of the numbers?
That, it's closer to the office. It's helping to support the YWCA, and there's a big hall that public can come. So all around, it's been working out pretty well for us.
Yeah, but don't think, but the Fishers Forum, which we can talk about in a while, that's not at the Y. That is at the Ala Moana Hotel, and that's a good fun. We'll get to that in a minute. But I'm still interested in the way it laid out, because people that want to come and see, they're going to have to sort of know. If this schedule is laid out just like this in the on the website, it's just as easy, right?
It is. And so if you just go to our calendar, you'll click on the upcoming council meetings, and it'll take you to the next meeting, which is our 176th meeting, and it'll have your Fishers Forum, the council meeting agenda, and a bunch of other documents that you can peruse.
Good fun. What are some of the things that you are involved in? I mean, you guys are all involved in it completely, but with regards to the international side of what you do.
I think I'll talk about what we're doing for Hawaii.
Exactly. That's a good idea.
The main Hawaiian Islands corner crab benchmark stock assessment was done back in September, October of last year. And so it's going to be reported out at this council meeting on what they found and what could be the potential catch projections for the next 4 years. And so when that is reviewed by the council will direct staff to go ahead and start the process of developing annual catch limits. And so that one is going to be done in June, but this right now we'll learn about what the benchmark stock assessment said.
Yep.
And really what we've seen from it looks pretty good.
I was going to say, you know, every now and again, we don't want to use this program and telling you the only reason we get together is to talk about doom and gloom. It's quite the opposite. I mean, as some of these assessments and some of the things that Josh is talking about get more and more sophisticated, lo and behold, some of the science supports not necessarily restricting, but sort of opening things up and letting things get back to whatever normal is.
Yeah, so while we don't know the exact non-commercial catch of Kona crab, which is probably big. From the data we do know, it's not looking as bad as we previously thought. And so the other things, kind of things we're looking at for Hawaii is the National Marine Fisheries Service just published a charter fishery cost earnings survey report.
Mm-hmm.
And so they looked at what the cost is of doing business, a charter business here, how many jobs it supports, what kind of money it takes in. And it's pretty fascinating to find out that it doesn't just support jobs and money here. It's actually supporting a handful of jobs and income and part of the economy in other places on the mainland.
Sure. And you know what I think is really interesting about that? I'm glad you brought that up. Almost everybody knows about tournaments and all of this kind of stuff. But a lot of people think, well, you know, I'm going to work real hard. I've got a boat, and then I'm going to retire, and I'm going to charter it. I'm going to be fishing. And people have to realize what it's like to go fishing to go play and what it's like to have to go fishing. You know, and that's what these guys have to make up their mind. The charter business, while it looks glamorous and like everybody's driving Rolls Royces, when you go down to the harbor, that's just not true.
Right, especially when it's called fishing and not catching. Yeah, exactly. So, you know, you bring on a tourist that wants to catch a fish and you get skunked. That's not too good for business.
Also, you have to go through until you've been on one of these boats when there are a lot of tourist gang, because I know the boats that I've been involved in, every now and again, it's not usually the skipper, but it's the mate or the deckhand that says, you know, first thing in the morning at 6:30 before they push out, they got to talk about if you're going to get sick, where do you get sick? Don't be go down, lie down, don't, you know, do this, see the back of the boat, you know, because you got to realize it. Like I said, it's different when you go fishing because you're going to have fun and when you have to. Sometimes the weather's marginal and these guys can't just cancel charter treat 4 days in a row. They want to go fish.
Right, right. And so some of the other stuff for Hawaii is we'll talk about what the state did for the bottomfish restricted fishing areas, the BRFAs.
Mm-hmm.
We'll also talk about the registry permit and license study group meetings that went on this last half of 2018. And hopefully we can get somebody to come on this show and talk about it.
Oh, absolutely. No, we definitely want that for sure. And the more the merrier. Because, and bang, just another reminder, if you're just joining us, Josh DeMello is here. We're talking about the up-and-coming meeting starting, the Fisheries Forum's on the 19th, but started a couple days before that. And it's pretty important. And that's why we try to do this. And you also can go to wpcouncil.org and see, because I guess people have learned, and this, once again, Josh, comes from my discussion the other day with Roy Morioka. More and more people are saying, you can't just let somebody else do it because, you know, like Uncle Roy tries to retire every year, but he feels bad he doesn't come back in. But we need some more of these young people coming up and getting involved in some of these things. So that's why coming to some of these meetings, or at least figuring out a way that you can make a comment. So, and that's kind of a long question because I want to get back to how the meetings and the reports affected the BRFAs, affected the bottom fishery, because that's a good thing to look at.
Right. And so it all started from coming to the council saying, hey, we don't need the BRFAs anymore because we have annual catch limits. So it doesn't matter where we fish, we have a limit that we can catch. So if we fish it all outside the BRFAs or inside and outside or inside the BRFAs, it doesn't matter because that's what's limiting our effort.
Yeah, and once again, that's why the fish are not sure which area they are in. And I guess the intention originally was to do that for breeding and stocking purposes, that thinking, okay, if you make these areas kapu, babies can, you know, we'll get back, you know, we'll get our fish stocks back. But what you're saying is they're not that threatened.
Well, what I'm saying is the science was inconclusive on whether they're working or not.
Yeah.
But even if they were working, we manage on a total catch limit. Mm-hmm. So unless you're protecting specific sites where you know exactly that this is where they spawn and the babies hang around, that it wouldn't matter anyway because you're catching those fish outside of it.
Yeah, a friend of mine just emailed me a nice big uku he caught the other day. Had no idea what was happening. He was taking out a tangle. Huh. And he was out in the back taking out a tangle. One of the lures was way in the water, and somebody it bit a lure. And he said he's never, when he goes uku fishing with his friends, they never catch anything. And here he cuts one out of the blind. But that's another, it's another eye-opener. When you talk about that, also maybe some of the things that are a little bit more unusual. I think that maybe if... and we'll explain what's at the forum in a minute. But I think some of the methods are fascinating to me. I think this audience would like to know that when you're talking about some tuna fisheries, they're using hand lines. I mean, they don't have big, expensive gold reels and double drags. They're holding their hand out of the side of a little boat waiting for a big tuna to bite them.
Right. These are, anybody catching anything, it all counts as part of extracting it out of the ocean, that it doesn't add back into the account of producing more fish. So in reality, while we want to know the gears and the effort and all that stuff, it's what is coming out. Because if we know what's coming out and we can estimate what's already there, we can kind of figure out how much more can we take before that our account starts going too low.
Yeah, and the interesting part of that for me to understand is that, like you said, more and more time is spent on what is the effort. You know, in other words, how much real fishing are you doing, and how much traveling are you doing, and should you count the travel into the catch? And the answer probably is, in some respects, you probably have to, but in many, it's not. I mean, it's not a true measure of what you're really making when you're fishing.
And it kind of depends, because if you're fishing on your way out or you're fishing on your way back, it's really when does the line hit the water?
Yeah.
And how long does that take for a fish to react to that hook and for you to bring it aboard?
Yeah, because, you know, a lot of the charter guys, because they're worried about fuel and a lot of other things, they're putting the lines out when they're pulling out of the harbor.
Right. I mean, you know, right outside the buoy.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the other thing. I don't think that people know as much about that. I wanted to go back to what we were talking about a bit ago, didn't finish. And that is the temptation of thinking, I'll be a charter guy. There's a lot of things you have to do to be a charter boat skipper and owner. Your boat's got to live up to standards. There's all kinds of
stuff. You have to have permits. You have to have the slip space.
You have to have insurance. You have to have a lot of stuff.
Right. Yeah. And even to do guide fishing, I mean, there was a bill in the legislature this year.
I just saw
to get permits for guide fishermen.
Yeah, and it is, like you said, it's getting a little bit more restrictive, and that's why maybe we can count of some of the other things before we start talking about the forum here in a minute. Talk about some of the other daytime meetings that would be of interest to some of this audience, the pelagic guys or the semi-commercial guys.
So I think some of the big things going on is with the Hawaii longline fisheries. With shallow set, there's still the issues of leatherback and loggerhead sea turtle interactions. And then we're also looking at the limits for longline big eye catch for our territories in Guam, American Samoa, and CNMI.
This is where some of their quota has been used by arrangements with our Oahu fleet.
Right, and since the meeting that was held last December, we have a limit for these areas. So these territories don't have their own limits. Mm-hmm. We can the council can actually set the limit. Okay. And so it's been at 2,000 metric tons.
Yeah, I think that's the number that we last heard.
And so we're looking at this year is, do these guys want more? Do they want less? Should they be able to transfer more or less? And all that kind of stuff plays into it. And the importance of these meetings is that if you come and you say your piece, it's there on record.
Yeah.
And so when that issue comes up, the council members and the council itself can say, hey, we heard that this is going on, and we can talk to the state, we can talk to the federal government.
Very important. I mean, don't just cut and paste and email stuff. Taking the extra step on that thing is really, really important. The good news is it's a lot easier to organize yourself and get on it. You go to wpcouncil.org and look, and each one of these meetings will be, there's a little thumbnail of what they are, and that would then give you the option of deciding which ones you go to. Okay, a couple more maybe that are appealing that, as you know, are going to be middle of the day or even afternoon or even morning, some of them.
So our scientific and statistical committee this past week started talking about this thing called Blue Ocean MPAs.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, what there's a push to do is to turn the high seas
into a
protected area. Yeah, yeah. So one gigantic marine protected area.
Which those of us that fish say, you must be kidding. You know, I mean, how can you possibly think about doing that? And if so, what are we talking about timing? Are we talking about open closes? Is Waikiki, or is it just boom, this is a sanctuary?
Right. Yeah. And so there's this push. So it's kind of like we need to understand what their objectives are and what they're trying to protect. Because if they're trying to protect something that this management tool, the MPA, doesn't allow for some kind of recovery or a benefit from that tool, then that's the wrong tool to apply.
Yeah, that's a pretty interesting. And I do know that everybody now, particularly, we talk about all of the, quote, things that are changing climate and ocean seas and all of this stuff. They want to they think that by making some of these areas protected now, that that's going to make a difference. It probably would. But in actual fact, the number of fish aren't growing in the ocean, but the number of us that want to eat them are. So we can't stop fishing and close off big areas because it's just not practical to think that way.
Right. Yeah. And so we'll also have a feedback session on the 20th down at our council meeting. And that feedback is for the Saltonstall Kennedy grant program.
Yeah. Give people a recap of that.
So Saltonstall Kennedy grant program, some of the funds for that comes from buying fishing tackle, mm-hmm. or and some of it comes from agriculture, all this stuff. And so they provide funding every year, or they have been since 2015, and before that there was a break, but people and organizations and institutions can apply for funding up to $500,000 in some cases.
It's serious. And you know, just learning about that, it's a game changer, especially if you have skills that you now want to put to personal use. From what I understand, it's not that hard to walk through the process. It might not guarantee that everybody's going to get the money, but it's not hard to at least file.
It's not hard. It's tedious because there's a lot of steps. You need to get certain numbers, and because it's the federal government, you have all this bureaucracy and the checks and balances. And so they've been funding all these projects all these years, but we don't know what happened to those projects. We know that they got funded, but what happened? Yeah. Was it a success? Mm-hmm. Is it being used by someone else? And so what they want to do is they want to ask the council and the public, mm-hmm. how do we get that information back to you? Is it just an email listserv? Do you want to have TV commercials? Do you want a nice glossy book? And so they're going to talk about that at the council meeting. But they're also going to have a feedback session down at Pier 38 at 5:30 p.m. that day, Wednesday.
Okay, where is that going to be at Pier 38?
At the NOAA Fisheries
office. The office, right across by Uncle's.
Right above Uncle's area. Yeah. And then, so if you're in the industry, they're really looking for industry feedback on how they can do that. But if you're interested in that grant program, come on down and let them know.
And by the way, there are, and you know, the council knows all about the grants. There's a lot of grants around. And the only thing is that some of them are annualized and some of them are one-time grants. So if you're going to gear up staff with something to do something for a grant, you should know what the limitations of the grant is. Does it roll over? Is it going to extend, or is it going to be over?
Right. And it's a good grant program because it helps directly support fisheries. Some of these grant programs don't directly support the fisheries, but this one is all about the fisheries and the fishing industry.
Okay, we're going to want you to go to wpcouncil.org to learn more about the things that we've been talking about. And we just jumped around, but it's in concise form. But the thing that I look forward to every time there's a get-together is the Fishers Forum. And so this one is kind of neat. It's called Food, Sex, and Death. And I know that's going to get a lot of your attention because it was kind of tongue-in-cheek that this happened. But it's part of stock assessments. And maybe, Josh, you can walk us through what's going to happen there and, you know, remind everybody when these things sort of started and how they've grown, because it's grown actually exponentially in the last couple of years. These forums are pretty well attended.
Right. So this one's going to be held March 19th from 6 to 9 p.m. at the Hibiscus Ballroom at the Ala Moana Hotel. And so this one's called Food, Sex, and Death. That's like the catchy title,
yeah,
right?
You got
sex,
my attention
sex
now.
Sex sells. Yeah. And I know there's some people that were like, oh, why'd you use that? But you know, if we just called it life history for stock assessments, you
not
know.
Not just we're going to count the earrings in a fish's ear.
Right. Yeah. And so this one, we're going to get people talking about all the projects that they're doing to collect the information about how a fish grows, where it grows, that kind of stuff. Yep. And they're going to be able... You're going to be able to walk around informational tables, talk to these scientists, and then there's going to be a panel discussion on what kind of information they're collecting. And it's really to allow these scientists to talk to the fishermen and try and get them to help with their data collection, because it is for the fishing community.
And by the way, the big hook here is I always get involved in this, and I can't believe what really cool stuff has been gathered together in form of a stash. Really, really neat, some really good gifts, including one of those big Yeti coolers. But I want to tell you that the part of this forum always is the walkthrough. And first of all, let's give you a little bit of an idea of who the people that are there. Once again, I got a call the other day from our friends at the Coast Guard Auxiliary. They love to be there. In other words, if you're a boater or if you're a fisherman, there's people going to be there that you didn't expect. So let's run down that list of who is in there. Hawaii Fishing News is always there. They bring their some episodes. They bring some stuff.
And then we also have Conservation International. They're mm-hmm. doing a lot of life history work, and we've been working with them on things like gonads and mm-hmm. otoliths. And then there's the Pacific Island Fisheries Science Center. So that's NOAA Fisheries Science Lab for fisheries here in Honolulu. They have a whole life history program that is collecting information, mm-hmm. and the fishermen have been working with them on things like bottom fish. We have the Pacific Island Fisheries Group, PIFG. They'll be there. They're always great supporters of the Fishers Forum. We have Poseidon Fisheries Research. That's a company that's doing life history data collection sampling from coral reef fish. And you might have seen them around. They've were just at the Atlapak tournament recently. Mm-hmm. They're working with the Waimanalo Boat Ramp Papio tournament. They've done some of the dive tournaments with Ali Holokai and Maui Sporting Goods. So they're around, and so a lot of listeners might be able to identify those.
Yeah, and once you see them, you will. And of course, like I said, the auxiliary, and they always have a nice little display. And more important now is not only do you have the proper operator's permit, but that if you are out in small craft or worse, you may not get insurance. And if you don't have some of the things that they'll be showing you on your boat, then you're not going to get insurance. So you got that in itself is worth it. But the panel, I'm interested in this panel. It's always my pleasure to MC this. Talk about who's going to be there. It's a three-member panel.
Right. And so an overview will be given by Dr. Joe O'Malley from the Pacific Island Fisheries Science Center. And he'll talk about what life history is and what it's good for. And then the panelists will include Cassie Pardee from the Poseidon Fisheries Research, working on the Hawaii biosampling, Dr. Alan Andrews from the Pacific Island Fisheries Science Center, who's looking at determining the age, growth, and longevity of reef fish, bottom fish, and large pelagic fishes. And then Dr. Molly Lutkavich, who was a guest on the show recently, who's working on tagging age and growth of tunas in Hawaii.
You know, what's really cool about Dr. Lutkavich is that she's rubbed elbows with all of the guys when we have the folks from Wicked Tuna on and stuff. That's the part of the globe that she came from, and we often it's a joy to talk to her, Josh, because it's neat to talk about a parallel fishery that's so far away, what the common things are, and she knows if this Wahine knows a lot about tuna, about pelagics. Period.
It's a good time to come and pick their brains on what you know. Maybe even they'll even know what color lures that are the best, and where the best spots are or something. I mean, it provides a way for fishermen to talk to the scientists who are doing all this research that goes and affects the management on their fisheries.
Yeah, and so once again, the forum is on the 19th Ala Moana Hotel in the Hibiscus Room, and it starts at 6, and it ends up usually by about 9 o'clock. You know, there's going to be some poo-poo there and stuff like that, and we got some great door prizes, but more often than not, and I really love this, not only do you see the guys. Josh, you guys are working all day before that. I mean, you know, and yet some of the guys are going to show up. They're going to show up at the forum because, you know, they're from CNMI or from wherever. They just want to see the rest of us.
Right. And it's always good to, if you know who your council members are or who the council members are, it's good to go pick their brain and let them know what you think about fishing in Hawaii and the Pacific, because that's your opportunity to actually get to them and let them know, because they're representing you, the fishermen.
And there's a reminder, in several of the previous shows, we talked about the different stock assessments, not just with Poseidon, but with others, and that is some of the results of these studies are going to be used during the meetings, and I'm sure some of that stuff is going to be available, like it always is, at the forum for people who want to see those reports.
Just like Kona Crab. Yeah. Kona Crab's a good example, because we're going to talk about the stock assessment, and actually the Poseidon Fisheries Research folks have actually done some of that research that went into the stock assessment, and they got funding to do an SK project to look at Kona crabs.
That was the one that I wanted to ask you about, because it's well and good to have these things, but a lot of them are multi-parted, and you can't have these scientists keep going unless somebody's fueling the fire. They got to get paid, and they got to have the place to do their work. They can't just, you know, you don't want to put hours and maybe a couple of years of energy into something and then think it's going to disappear. it may end up like in the Raiders of the Lost Ark. Remember all of those things that they just stashed at the end of the thing?
Right. And you don't want scientists to do the fishing either. You want to partner with these scientists so that they're fishing the way that real fishermen fish.
Okay, and let's tease a little bit. We're going to be able to get a couple of people that we could talk to get in future shows in the next couple of weeks. Who's that? Who's trying to reach out?
I'm going to try and see if our friends from Guam and Sinamai can come out and talk to you about some of the issues.
Yeah.
And see what we have in common.
I have such good fun when they do that. These guys are such nice guys. And you have to understand, folks, these guys are literally fish out of water. They're thousands of miles from home when they come for this thing. And most of them are here for about a week at least, right?
But they're all island people, and you know, they live the same as us and depend on the resources just like us.
Okay, so that's going to wrap it up for this week. I do want to thank you, Josh, and maybe make a plea one more time. What are the dates?
It's March 18th through 21st down at the Lanikeo YWCA for the 176th council meeting. And then March 19th for the Fishers Forum down at the Ala Moana Hotel.
And that one's from 6 to 9 at night. In the meantime, do what Josh suggested. Get to the website and check it out, wpcouncil.org, wpcouncil.org. And don't forget, if you want to hear something on the program, on this segment, let me know or let them know. But you can reach me, themikebuckshow@gmail.com, themikebuckshow@gmail.com. Have a great rest of your weekend. We'll see you next time right here on Go Fish.